Hi, I'm Susanna Hewson from HSF's Head Office Advisory Team, and welcome to Reporting for Duties. Reporting for Duties is our limited podcast series aiming to provide bite-sized insights on corporate reporting and ESG. In this episode, we have Tim Stutt and Anna Caronio reporting for duty, and our topic for discussion is the risk management pillar of the Australian Sustainability Reporting Standards. Before we get into it, though, I would first like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land from which we are broadcasting today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to elders both past and present. So, Tim and Anna, what are the substantial areas that clients should be aware of under the risk management pillar?
I think there's probably quite a few, but I would say before we get into them, the risk management pillar is one that in the gap analysis exercises we've done for different clients is typically pretty well addressed. I wouldn't say everyone is ticking all boxes on it, but actually it is one where there are more compliant areas than some of the other pillars. And I think the reason for that is that companies have put quite a bit of focus into fleshing out their risk management processes. For a long time, the regulator and the broader market has been signaling climate as an important area of risk for businesses, and companies have been considering whether it's material to them and then how they manage it if it is. So I do think this is one where practices are in train. Probably in terms of the gaps, though, or the new areas for companies to be thinking about, the headline comment would be opportunities. The ASRS requirements do give pretty much equal focus to risks and opportunities, and the opportunities aspects in particular are not embedded in the same way that climate-related risks are embedded in the risk management systems. So thinking about how opportunities are identified and assessed and prioritised and monitored is a really key area of uplift in respect of this pillar. The prioritisation is another one, which I think is an area which companies should have on their radar. The regime does talk about disclosing how you prioritise climate-related risks and opportunities, and I think the prioritisation aspect is one which is not typically addressed in reporting at present, and that will require a bit of thought as to A, reflecting how you do that prioritisation process in practice, but B, translating that into disclosure for public purposes. And then the other sort of notable inclusion, actually probably a couple, under the strategy pillar are climate-related scenario analysis. And I think those listening in might be aware that it's proposed that there will be scenario analysis against at least two scenarios, one of which is a 1.5 degree warming scenario in line with the government's Climate Change Act commitments and their NDC, and another of the entities choosing. And then second aspect is how these risk management processes are integrated into and inform risk management across the business.
I think there'll be a bit of a looking at your existing disclosures on risk management and just seeing what sort of additional bits and pieces you need to add on to meet some of these items, because I think that a lot of companies probably do have quite sophisticated risk management policies and processes, but bringing that sort of climate angle to it might be new for some companies. Under this pillar, there's also some quite granular requirements around risk management. So these include things like disclosing the data sources for the information and also the scope of the operations that are covered. So having the boundaries disclosed for which entities are in and out, in particular, if you've got sort of joint venture operations or entities that you have an interest in but don't operate. So it'll be about defining that. There'll be a piece around assumptions and also, as Tim picked up on, if the company's using climate-related scenario analysis and what the boundaries of that are and what scenarios you're using. The last piece is probably around if you've changed something year on year. So obviously this might not be as relevant in the first year, but maybe in subsequent years. But if you've changed something in your risk management approach from a previous reporting period, also highlighting how that's changed, and you might need a bit of a rationale for it as well.
I guess just to double back to the scenario analysis aspect, one of the things that we've sort of seen with clients coming out under this pillar is the fact that they do the scenario analysis, they do it for the purposes of risk, but they may not have necessarily linked it through to risk processes, resiliency, investment decisions, a broader set of issues within the business. Or if they have, they may not necessarily have that linked through in their public disclosure. So I think scenario analysis, yes, it's been very commonly talked about so far for the purposes of impacts on the business and risk management, but actually in terms of how that's tied through to some of the broader business considerations and at a more granular level, that's an area of uplift which will probably come through the new regime as well.
And we'll probably also see a bit of a journey around these disclosures, because there are definitely some companies that are much further along the scenario analysis journey than others.
I think that's very much the case, because while it's become less common for a while, there was a tendency for some companies to sort of say that they had done scenario analysis and decided that climate change would impact their business materially or not materially, or adversely or beneficially in relation to X and adversely in relation to Y, and it was very high level disclosure. And I think pulling this through to the next level of granularity will be a bit of a change for some.
In terms of bite-sized insights, I think you said it best, Anna, this will be a journey, and despite the name of the pillar, it is about risks and opportunities. And so compliance will require the full spectrum disclosure of how companies identify, assess, prioritise and monitor climate-related risks and opportunities. Thanks for joining us. This was Tim Stutt, Anna Cronio and Susanna Hewson reporting for Duty.
You have been listening to a podcast brought to you by Herbert Smith Freehills. For more episodes, please go to our channel on iTunes, Spotify, or SoundCloud, and visit our website, herbertsmithfreehills.com, for more insights relevant to your business.